Welcome back to Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we are diving into a massive controversy that has just erupted in the AI benchmarking community. A high-profile Kaggle competition hosted by Google DeepMind is facing serious allegations of flawed evaluation processes and unscientific judging.
It is a huge story that really strikes at the heart of how we measure progress toward artificial general intelligence. We are also going to look at a fascinating new typography experiment called Decoy Font. It uses hybrid imaging technology to hide text from AI vision models while keeping it readable for humans, assuming you are willing to squint a little.
Plus, we have a couple of quick hits in the roundup, including Microsoft open sourcing a very nostalgic piece of 1990s internet history, and a look ahead to an upcoming open weight model release that you will want to mark on your calendar.
There is a lot of ground to cover today, so let's get right into it.
Our first deep dive today takes us into the often messy, high-stakes world of AI evaluation. Google DeepMind and Kaggle recently teamed up to host a hackathon called Measuring Progress Toward AGI, Cognitive Abilities. They put up a massive $200,000 prize pool, which obviously attracted a lot of top-tier talent. The stated goal was to crowdsource new benchmarks for evaluating the true cognitive abilities of AI models.
Right, and they specifically asked participants to focus on five distinct tracks: learning, metacognition, attention, executive functions, and social cognition. The idea here is that the industry has plenty of benchmarks for coding or math, but as these frontier models get closer to general intelligence, we desperately need rigorous ways to measure how they actually reason and adapt. It was supposed to be a major step toward empirical, scientific measurement of AGI. But instead, the results have sparked a massive backlash on the Kaggle discussion boards.
Exactly. A participant publicly challenged the competition results, alleging gross inconsistencies in the evaluation process. The criticism is heavily focused on the selection of an entry called Medley Bench, which was chosen as a grand prize winner. The core of the complaint is that the winning entries lacked rigorous scientific methodology. Specifically, critics are pointing out a complete absence of repeated trials or variance analysis in the winning submissions.
And that is a critical flaw when you are dealing with large language models, because these models are inherently stochastic. If you run a reasoning prompt through them once, you might get a lucky pass or an unlucky failure. To establish a true baseline of cognitive ability, you have to run that test dozens or hundreds of times to calculate the variance. The critics are alleging that Medley Bench didn't do this, meaning their benchmark results could just be statistical noise, yet they still took home the top prize.
Which leads to the second part of the allegation, that the evaluation process favored presentation gloss over technical robustness. When you have a $200,000 prize pool, participants are highly incentivized to optimize for what the judges want to see. In a traditional Kaggle competition, the judging is completely objective. You train a model, you run it against a hidden test set, and whoever gets the highest F1 score wins. There is no arguing with the math. But evaluating cognitive benchmarks is inherently subjective.
And when the criteria are subjective, human judges can easily be swayed by a slick user interface, a beautifully formatted README file, or highly polished marketing copy, rather than the underlying mathematical rigor. The critics are essentially arguing that Medley Bench won because it looked like a professional product, not because it was the most scientifically sound approach to measuring AGI.
This really highlights a growing tension in the AI community. On one hand, we have this desperate need for rigorous, verifiable scientific standards to ensure AI safety and track our progress toward AGI. On the other hand, there is immense pressure to produce high-profile, easily digestible results that look good on a dashboard. It raises serious questions about whether crowdsourced platforms like Kaggle are actually the right venue for this kind of foundational safety research. I think it is a fair question. Google DeepMind is usually seen as the gold standard for scientific rigor in the AI space. For a competition with their name attached to face allegations of prioritizing gloss over substance is a bad look. It also damages the credibility of the benchmarks themselves. If the broader industry is supposed to adopt these winning entries to test future frontier models, those benchmarks need to be absolutely bulletproof. If they are built on statistical noise, we are essentially flying blind.
It will be interesting to see if DeepMind or Kaggle issue a formal response to the methodology critiques, or if they decide to revise the judging criteria for future cognitive ability hackathons. But for now, this whole situation serves as a stark reminder that as AI capabilities scale, our ability to accurately measure them is struggling to keep pace. Moving on to our second deep dive, we have a really fascinating experiment in typography and data protection. On July 17th, Eric Liu, the founder of MixFont, released an experimental TrueType typeface called Decoy Font. It is an anti-AI font specifically designed to be readable by humans, but completely illegible to AI vision models and automated web scrapers.
And the way it achieves this is through something called hybrid imaging technology. If you have ever seen that famous optical illusion where a picture looks like Albert Einstein up close, but if you step back or squint your eyes, it turns into Marilyn Monroe, it is exactly that same principle. The font overlays a clear, high-frequency outline of a decoy letter on top of a blurred, low-frequency image of the actual letter you want to communicate.
Right, so when a machine vision model or an OCR system looks at the text, its algorithms naturally prioritize the high-contrast, high-frequency data, which means it only reads the decoy letters. But a human looking at the screen can squint or view the text from a distance, which filters out the high-frequency outlines and allows their brain to process the blurred, hidden message underneath. It essentially creates a human-only layer of communication.
The technical implementation is pretty clever, too. Eric Liu built this based on the Deja Vu Sans Mono typeface. To prevent AI developers from easily cracking the font, he appended random decoy letters to each character. So if the font wants to hide the letter A, it doesn't always use the letter Q as the decoy. The mapping is randomized, meaning there is no simple one-to-one substitution cipher that a script could reverse engineer. The AI actually has to process the visual data, and the visual data is explicitly designed to trick it.
It is a brilliant concept, but it immediately raises questions about practicality. The requirement that humans have to squint or physically move away from their monitor to read the text makes it completely unviable for long-form content. You aren't going to read a blog post or a news article in decoy font. It seems targeted at very short, sensitive snippets of information, like an email address on a public contact page or a private key. Even for short snippets, it introduces massive accessibility issues. The whole premise relies on human visual processing tricks. But what about humans who use screen readers? By definition, if a screen reader can parse the underlying text to speak it aloud, an AI scraper can parse it too. So deploying this kind of defense mechanism inherently breaks web accessibility for visually impaired users. That is a huge trade-off. There is also the question of longevity. Is this a viable long-term security tool or just a temporary optical trick? We have seen adversarial AI defenses like Nightshade, which actively poison the training data by altering the pixels in an image to mess with the model's latent space. Decoy font doesn't poison anything, it just obscures the text. It feels like only a matter of time before AI developers train their vision models to specifically look for these hybrid image patterns and extract the low-frequency data.
I agree. It is definitely a cat-and-mouse game. Once an AI model is explicitly trained on the fact that blurred, low-frequency shapes contain the real text, it will probably be able to extract that text much faster and more accurately than a squinting human ever could. But despite its limitations, Decoy Font is a really creative response to a very real problem. It highlights just how desperate creators and developers are getting to protect their data from unauthorized harvesting by frontier models.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. Let's dive into the roundup.
First up, a massive blast from the past for anyone who was on the internet in the mid-90s. On July 16th, Microsoft officially open-sourced Comic Chat under the MIT license.
This is incredible. Originally released in August 1996 with Internet Explorer 3.0, this was an IRC client created by David Curlander and the Microsoft Research Virtual Worlds Group. Instead of a normal text feed, it rendered your chat rooms as comic book panels with avatars and speech bubbles.
And famously, it is historically significant for being the very first application to use the Comic Sans font, which Vincent Canary designed in 1994. The new GitHub repository actually includes the original 1996 to 1998 Visual C++ snapshots, as well as modern builds that allow the code to run on current Windows systems. It is a fantastic software preservation project.
Finally, a quick look ahead regarding Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 model. We did a deep dive on this 2.8 trillion parameter model yesterday, discussing its massive 1 million token context window and the new agent swarm capabilities.
Right, but we wanted to give you a heads up on a key date. While the API is live now, the full model weights are officially scheduled for public release on July 27th.
Exactly. This is a massive milestone for the open weight community, but obviously running a 2.8 trillion parameter model locally is going to require some serious hardware orchestration. So if you are planning to deploy this beast yourself, you have got a little over a week to get your infrastructure and storage ready. That is going to do it for today's episode of Noracast Tech Briefing. Thanks for tuning in.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates from across the tech landscape. See you then.